Yes, sir.
Another question, yes, sir. Oh, okay. Scissors, paper, and stone. It's actually, it's a nothing chord. You deaden the strings. And then it's... The hammer-on is like just the D chord. Put your finger down here like on that C note. So. Rock and roll fantasy we had one day, and we got off of it and bluegrassed it up then after that. I don't know who was next to you. Do you know who? Okay, over here. Yeah. Well, that's a tough one. I must go through 1,000 songs before I hear one that I think, oh yeah, I can really do this. I don't know what the answer to that is. For a fiddle tune, I look for, I guess on fiddle tunes and other kind of types of traditional tunes to make instrumentals out of, I first listen for whether this tune grabs me, because there are a lot that don't exactly grab me. I like to play them, you know, and so forth. But then secondarily, I try to visualize in advance where that's going to go on the guitar, and if there's anything, that if I have any kind of moves I can make in that place where it's going to go. But that's a tricky one. There's no particular formula for it. And I just look for things that grab me, that move me, and try to play them. And if after I try to play them a few days, they start sounding better, then they wind up in the repertoire. And if they don't, they sort of go, gosh, I'm glad nobody ever heard me try to play that. And how about you, Jerry?
When you say song, are you talking about something with a voice, or you just need a piece of music? Okay, because it's different. I mean, it's... Okay. First of all, I'm going to hear a tune that appeals. And because I play mandolin and fiddle and banjo, what I'm going to want to play it on, it varies. There's some tunes that are made for the guitar. There's some tunes that were made up on the fiddle that should have been made up on the guitar.
Yeah,
they just
true.
Go way, they sound better on the guitar.
Yeah, actually about 80% of the fiddle tunes.
there's some...
If Byron's around, he's going to have something to say.
No, you know what I'm talking about. It's something to do with how the instrument resonates. But some of them that are very simple to reel off on the fiddle are monsters on the guitar, and they tie your fingers up in knots. So I may give up sometimes. I just say, this is not for me. I have a lot of fun deciding what key to play it, and there's no capo tradition in fiddling. As much as possible, I like to play in the original keys. You get interesting resonances. It's not always easy, though, to do that, especially B-flat. Tunes, E-flat tunes are very awkward on the guitar, but these do get peculiar and different resonances. That's all I can think of right now. It's
I can play in the open position, play E-flat. It's just that I choose never to do that. it's random.
There was another question. Others, I'd like to show you a trick.
I'd like to show us a trick.
What's the trick? What's the new trick? Okay, we both played in a tuning where we brought our bass down. I also occasionally bring my A string down to G. Not too much. Well, of course, we had rocking chair. Maybe I'll get a chance to slip that in. That'd be a good idea. Or change three strings. But usually I play in standard. But there's a way of changing tunings without ever touching your pegs, and that's five-string capoing, which I use a lot. For instance, the key of A. I play with Kate Brislin, and if with two guitars, we want to avoid similar fingering if we can. So let's say she's playing at a straight A, no capo. Sometimes I'll put my capo on the second fret with covering all but the bass string. Then I can do this. Amick works the key of D. Oh, sorry, take that back. But, second, fourth fret, key of E. This is one of my favorites, and especially me.
That's also a little plug for the shove capo, which is the only one that allows you to do that.
I learned it on a Golden Gate capo. They work too, but eventually they only last about, I don't know, 7 minutes. The hardware gives out. Yeah.
We make a capo now. I don't know if you've seen it. It's a new capo, but it has six circular pieces.
Yeah, third hand capo.
Yeah, that's called the third hand capo. Yeah. Let's take a couple more questions, then we're going to play a couple, and this is going to be time to get out of here. How about this gentleman, the green hat back there?
How far away from the melody do you dare go on a certain piece?
Oh.
I think the, I'll give you a quick answer.
Give the song that you respect that it's supposed
yeah,
to have.
I think a quick answer to that is learn to play the melody first, as opposed to sort of, in other words, if you can get as close to at least one play of a fiddle player on a fiddle tune on the guitar as possible, and get that in here, you know, so that that has a chance to educate the rest of the stuff you do, then the variations that you come up with will sound more like the tune.
I couldn't agree more. When learning something, I'll get the best traditional version I can, and then I'll destroy it, you know, but at least I know what I'm pulling to pieces.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Oh, it's just that most of American traditional tunes wind up on the fiddle, and it's just an expression. There's no substantial difference between a fiddle tune and a banjo tune.
When I use the word, it's tunes that I learned from fiddle players. They were made up by fiddle players for fiddle players, and I said, play it on the guitar.
A tune is a tune, and it belongs wherever it gets played. Yes, sir.
As far as cross-picking, what are some of your favorite cross-picks, and in what circumstances do you use them within the tune?
Cross-picking is, I can give you about a two-hour workshop on cross-picking in about 2 minutes, I think.
I'm here all day.
Cross-picking is a style of playing a sort of a roll between three strings that sound good together. In other words, you're sort of not doing anything with your left hand, but you're doing something vertical instead of horizontal, picking across strings. The place to do it is any place that the banjo does it. The banjo does a sort of cross-picking, but the banjo guys do it with the picks. And so it's good for in-between phrases of songs. Another place you have to use it is in raggy tunes. And it's also good for playing melody if you can figure out. How to get started on this. I talked and lost my place, but one good way to get started cross-picking, if you don't mind using the down-up-down-up-down pattern, and there are other patterns, but it's the one I use, and I can show you how to do that real easy, is go home, grab a G chord, and play In the Mood on the third, fourth, and fifth strings. In the Mood on G. That it's not, you know, it's
you get that difference is you play down, up, down, up, down, up, down, all the way through. So you have an even number of picking directions, but an odd number of strings. So every time you go 5, 4, 3, it's different. First time it's down, up, down. Next time it's going to be up, down, up, and so on. And then you play the down strokes a little bit harder, so it gets that nice in the mood syncopation. Once you've got that pattern going, then you can do the same pattern but with any three strings. So if I, you know, here's the same pattern with the right hand. And instead of just holding three strings, I'm holding a little chord and just fooling around with other strings. So the first step is to learn patterns. Second is to experiment around with just changing the strings around. So